Way too many first responders are struggling with their fitness, health, and body goals, but you're not alone in that fight. I'm Ted with Fit Responder, and with 11 years experience in law enforcement, as well as being a fitness coach for over 15 years myself, I've created some free resources as well as one-to-one professional fitness coaching for first responders. So I want you to check us out, fitresponder.com, or look us up on Instagram at fit.responder. That's fit period responder. And let's see you there. Chat soon. Thanks and enjoy the podcast.
The Poorly Made Police podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This podcast has explicit content and is meant for a mature audience. The views expressed on this Poorly Made podcast reflect the opinions of the guest and host. They do not reflect the opinion of any department or entity. Nothing on this Poorly Made podcast should be construed as legal or marital advice. If something offends you, I kindly invite you to lighten the fuck up. If you want to support this very poorly made podcast, click the link at the end of the description and become a monthly sponsor of the podcast. Or buy yourself some nice Poorly Made Police Memes merch. Not only does it look good on you, it's also a favorite of wives, exes, children, nurses, nuns, IA investigators, defense attorneys, and the chief. And of course, take care of the fine sponsors of this podcast. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the orgasmic sound of a Crown Vic. Now joining the podcast from the desert, living in an area that should not support mankind, I have Mr. Bugsy. How are you, buddy? Did I say it right?
Yeah, Bugsy. Yeah, you got it right. How you doing?
Okay. I am just living a dream in the beautiful, blessed cornfields of the Midwest.
That's what's up, man.
I wish I was gambling right now, though. I could tell you that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To be completely honest, I've never gambled.
Are you from Vegas?
Yeah. So, I was born in California, but I only lived there for like 2 weeks after I was born, apparently, allegedly. And then we moved here. So I threw a quarter in a slot machine once as I was walking by it. And that's the extent of my gambling right there.
I have a buddy, one of my really good friends that's actually from the Vegas area. And then, you know, he moved out to Colorado and stuff. I get the sense the residential parts of Vegas are a lot different than the Strip.
Yeah, it is. I mean, once you get off the Strip is, it's just such a small part of Vegas. I mean, that's where all the money comes from. That's where everybody knows it from. But like physically, such a small part. Once you leave the Strip, like a half mile either direction, man, you're just in somewhat normal neighborhoods, just normal people. And it's just like any other place.
I got to assume that that's the only reason people live out there, right? Like everybody that lives in Vegas does something probably directly related to the entertainment business.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot, whether it's, dealers or bartenders and stuff like that. You run across them all the time.
Let's start with your name, because before we started recording the fake alias, I mean, your totally real name, you told me without him, Vegas wouldn't exist. I thought it was like Sinatra or something. I don't fucking know. So you educate us on Vegas.
I only know a little bit about him. His name is Bugsy Siegel. He was a mobster here in Vegas, pretty famous mobster. He kind of started the Flamingo, if you're familiar with the Flamingo casino right there on the Strip. He started that, and during that time is when Vegas is really kind of up and coming, and he helped push and facilitate most of what it is today, kind of like the entertainment capital of the world. And he was a criminal. It is what it is. But without him and him doing what he did, I wouldn't have a job today. But he went out like a real mobster. He got into a pretty big gunfight. I think it was on the Flamingo, somewhere on the Strip, something like that. And he ended up getting gunned down and killed. But hey, because of him, I'm here.
You heard that here first, kids. We're honoring criminals today. All right. Not to go like way off the rails, because we have a lot of fucking ground to cover. But I'm curious, because I'm one of those people, like I've been to Vegas a couple times. Unfortunately, never with money and never for fun. So I haven't really got to experience true Vegas. But I always wonder how the fuck people live there. Because, I mean, your source of water is kind of rapidly depleting. I mean, I assume that's a really big concern for people living out there, is where you guys are going to get water over the next couple decades.
Yeah, it is. You know, you see it, it's going down quite a bit. We call it, you know, it's Lake Mead is where we get it from. And man, you go out there. When I was a kid, I used to go out there a lot, go fishing, swimming, and stuff like that. And it was, you know, the water level was obviously way higher. You go out there now and you could see where, just how far it's come down because of the lines and like the sides of the mountains and stuff. But Vegas is actually pretty good about recycling water. Kind of sounds gross, but we have these water treatment plants just kind of all over the city. And anytime we use water, like in your home or any kind of business, it goes down the drain, it goes to these recycling plants, they clean the water, and they kind of just recirculate it back into life.
Enough about water and lakes and mobsters. Let's learn about you. Why did you get into law enforcement?
It's kind of that typical. My dad was in law enforcement. He did 32 years as a California Highway Patrol, but he kind of worked right here at the state line border from Prim to, I don't know if you're familiar with Barstow, but
I do. I like that stretch of I-15. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of entertaining. You get that the world's tallest thermometer right there in Baker. It's kind of that landmark there. But he did that 32 years, and I've always looked up to him. He's become my best friend in life, and you know, we have a really good relationship. Because I went into the military before becoming a cop, and he really tried to talk me out of it. But I was like, I'm going to do it. And then once he knew that I wasn't giving up on it, he was super supportive. And him and then his brother was my uncle. He works for Salt Lake City Police. And he's been someone I'm looking up to, too. And so it's kind of been just kind of a family thing, slightly.
Okay. How long have you been on the job for, roughly?
So about 4.5 years now. Not too long.
So you kind of came in. If my math is right, and I make a podcast in my basement, so math is not my strong suit, but you came in like right before COVID, and then you experienced COVID, and now we're kind of coming out of that, right?
Yeah. So I did. So I joined at the end of 2018 is where I started the academy. And then as soon as I got finished with the academy, as soon as I finished field training, it was something like December. And then that March of 2020, I remember that's when we like got our first case of first person to get COVID here in kind of in Vegas. So kind of the start of COVID is when I was a solo cop. So
you basically experienced 1 year of normal policing and then it got fucking weird. No, go ahead.
Yeah, it kind of got weird, obviously, like everybody else, you know, that knee-jerk reaction, you know, masks all the time. Anytime you go to a call, you know, dispatch would have to let you know that, hey, this person doesn't have COVID. They've never been exposed to anybody with COVID. And then I don't know about most places, but in Vegas, it kind of came and went pretty fast. We still had the lockdowns and all that. It wasn't as bad as most places in this country. Especially when you like read about California and like the shit they did over there, which is crazy. So we definitely got the beginning of it just like everybody else, but I feel like we ended it way faster than most people too. And it kind of just disappeared way sooner.
Were the casinos closed at all for any time period or were they open the whole entire time?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, so I remember I wasn't even working. I just went down the strip one time with my wife. And just during the whole COVID thing, just to see. And man, it was the craziest thing. Just the strip just being this complete ghost town. Like there were some casinos where the lights were just completely off. Nobody was walking. Nobody was driving. It was just weird, eerie, like apocalyptic type feel. Luckily, that only lasted, like I said, a short time. And then everything was just back to normal.
Did you guys deal with the same stuff where the jails weren't taking people because of COVID?
Yeah, I said, I don't know how other departments really did it, but we were only taking for like violent crimes and domestic and DUIs. So this is literally the only misdemeanors that they would accept. Anything other than that, obviously let go. And then the violent stuff, but even then you kind of had to make sure it was like a good violent crime, if that makes sense. So
now I hear you. Let me ask you this. Vegas, it's Las Vegas Metro, right? Does it encompass like other cities, or is it just like the city and county of Vegas? How does that all work?
Yeah, so we're it's the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. It was I think it was like back in 73, 76. They just joined the Vegas Police Department and the Sheriff's Department and combined them. So we're technically police officers is my title, but a sheriff is in charge of us. So we cover the whole county and like the rural areas. And then like within Vegas, you have North Las Vegas and then Henderson. They have their own police departments. So we really don't go into there. But like the sheriff, we technically have jurisdiction just all over the county.
Okay. And roughly how big is your agency manpower wise?
We're kind of suffering like everybody else, but right now I know we're sitting something like, man, I can't remember what he said, something like 2,500 officers. But
okay, so that's pretty good. We're down
something like, I think our new sheriff says something like 300 officers. We're still kind of short.
And let me ask you about that. Why are people leaving Vegas? Is it kind of the same stuff nationally? I mean, are you guys having issues with leadership and the community and things like that? What's going on in Vegas that people are leaving?
So we obviously had a lot of people just retire. You know, when all this, the George Floyd stuff happened, we had a lot of people, these older guys, they just went up and just retired. So we lost a lot there. We lost a few to like laterals. I know Phoenix was kind of a big one for officers.
Phoenix
moving there.
Has been sniping people for a while, man. I got a lot of people in the Phoenix too.
Man, I kind of don't blame them. Like if you see what Phoenix is producing and like stuff they're offering, and I have a buddy over there who's a part of like their uniform detail, like the new uniforms they're getting, man, they're going to look like freaking SEAL Team 6 now, just patrol officers. Like they're just giving them everything to make sure they retain cops. It's nuts.
Is Vegas a good place to be a cop? Do you feel supported by administration and the community?
Yeah, no, we really do. Obviously, just especially with the size of the agency and just like everybody else, you're going to have people you don't like, leadership you don't like. But for the most part, especially where I work, we all love our leadership. We're supported by our leadership. We're still encouraged to be proactive, like so much that we have proactive units. And then every day when you go to work, you got to make sure that at least somebody on your squad is the proactive guy. We're backed by our leadership for the most part. Whenever we get into like use of force, obviously that's, make sure it's justified. You're not being a total complete asshat about it. But it's a great place to work as to be a cop right now, as opposed to many other places. I love it.
So this isn't one of these agencies where you're kind of handcuffed. You're still allowed to be a cop in Vegas. Do I got that right?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we still obviously have stuff like, pursuit policy. We can only chase, like there's only, two reasons we can chase is, a violent fleeing felon. And someone who is a clear and present danger to the public. We can pursue for that. Other than that, no. So pursuits are still very rare. And then for the most part, because Vegas, we have this, it's just hard to hide in Vegas. We have these, what we call Fusion Watch cameras that we can pick up on people, license plate readers all over the place. Our air unit is pretty good for the most part. So they're on top of things. So you get somebody to take off from you, the air unit's just going to follow them until they land. And then for the most part, it's pretty easy to go pick them up. So, it sucks not pursuing everybody, bitches and gripes about it. And I do too. Shoot, I would love to just chase people all the time. But in the end, I do get it. There is that safety aspect to it. Especially like in the city, there's just a lot of people, being Vegas and, just people driving all the time. You do have to be careful. And in the end, it is better to have their unit for the most part, pick it up. And then they just tell you, yeah, they stopped here. And then you just go chase them on foot or something. And then it usually works out.
I was talking to a buddy the other day, and he just recently came back from Vegas. And he said he was kind of surprised how many bums are out and about in Vegas. And I haven't been in Vegas in a long, long time, but I don't really remember it. I mean, maybe on the outskirts having a homeless problem, but I don't remember the whole strip being covered in bums. Is that a new thing, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, so I actually don't work on the strip. I've never been assigned to the strip. The only time I've actually worked the strip is like when there's a special event going on where they need to pull officers from like other area commands to come and help them out, or, you know, and then like New Year's, everybody has to work New Year's on the strip. But yeah, the homeless situation is kind of getting worse over in the strip. They're everywhere. They're just laying there. They'll be blocking sidewalks, sleeping on the sidewalks, those pedestrian bridges. It's kind of a hot topic issue right now. I guess I don't remember who he was. He was some off-duty officer just visiting somewhere from the Midwest, and some bum actually stabbed and killed him on one of these pedestrian crossings. So ever since then, it's been a big hot topic issue, just trying to get these, you know, patrol these bums. And, you know, it's annoying. Nobody wants to do bum patrol, but, you know, when they do shit like that, you kind of have to draw the line.
I feel like I didn't hear about that. Now I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, I can't remember where I want to say like Missouri, could be completely wrong, but I know he was over there somewhere Midwest. And this was a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that.
Now I got to find it, because now I'm curious. But do you guys have, I guess, the support of the community to enforce those types of laws? Because like where I work, there's all kinds of laws about, you know, you can't fucking be blocking the sidewalk and businesses and shit. And, you know, it became a human rights issue. Apparently it's a human right to fucking block sidewalks now. And so they didn't, you know, nobody wanted to make anybody mad, so they basically stopped enforcing it. Are you guys still allowed to enforce those types of laws to have people move along?
Yeah, we are. We, on a patrol level, like, you know, we do call center, stuff like that. We don't really worry too much about it. I work on a pretty ghetto part of town. You know, there's a lot of the hood and just kind of a poor part of town, very violent over there. So we kind of don't have time to really mess with the homeless people. And we just, you know, for the most part over there, they kind of mind their own business, but we're still allowed to. Yeah, we're allowed to. We have the community support behind it. We actually have a spell, like every Harry Command has their own, call it a COP unit, so community oriented policing. They're the people that, you know, there are TikTok cops, we call them, and then they go around kind of enforcing the homeless people and kicking them out of places and moving their camps along, stuff like that. So we kind of just leave it to them. So the homeless people know them, and then they know us as patrol officers. They know we're not going to mess with them. But I, you know, if I come across, I'm like, hey, man, you know, those officers in the black shirts, they're going to come. So you better find a place to go. And they're like, oh, I know.
So I found an article about it. As an officer in the state of Washington, and the news release says an off-duty Edmonds police officer was stabbed to death during an altercation with another man in Las Vegas. Doesn't say anything about him being a bum. It just said they had an argument over an interaction with a dog the night before the stabbing. On Saturday night, the two men got into another fight, which the suspect stabbed the victim once.
Also, nowhere near the Midwest, like I said.
Yeah, once you get out, it's fine. It's close. But yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird thing that the whole bum thing is. And I know I've talked about it a lot on my podcast, and I get it. You know, like these people, you know, a lot of them mental health issue, drug addiction and stuff like that. I don't know how part of the solution is letting them live in their own filth and letting them stab people on walkways. Like, that's probably not part of the solution to me. Maybe I'm a dick. I don't know. You know, everybody, it's not illegal to be homeless. Okay, well, it's not, but it is illegal to do the things that they do. That is illegal,
yeah,
in fact.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just a regular street cop, so I don't know what the solution is, but I agree. I mean, there's got to be something we can do. Some of it's just getting really out of hand. especially lately, because we've been having a lot of rain. And I don't know if you heard about like a documentary about like the tunnel people of Vegas, because we have like a bunch of tunnels and wash drains like going under the city all over. So that's where
Oh
they
no, I
live.
haven't. Oh.
Yeah, so that's where all these homeless people live, a lot, like vast majority of them. So when it starts to rain, those tunnels start to fill up. So then they all come out of there, like a bunch of mole people, and just set up camp everywhere. So it kind of really brings to light like how many homeless people are in Vegas when it rains. You're like, shit, they're just everywhere. And then I don't know about other area commands, but where I work, it's I'm starting to notice like a lot of these homeless people are either former or still active gang members. I don't know what's happening there, but a lot of gang members are becoming homeless and getting addicted to drugs, and they still got that violent tendency in them. And then so it's not just a homeless person who's just down on their luck. It's, violent gang member homeless people, which is like this new breed, I feel like.
Who would have thought a life in a gang would not pay off? Interesting.
I know, right?
Sorry, man. I kind of got on a little rant there about our homeless friends down there. I just because the guy asked about it, so I was curious. I know Nevada is kind of a weird state where it's. I don't want to like pigeonhole it, and I don't want to really get into politics, but I would say Nevada is kind of a purple state. I think you have kind of like some working class blue, and I think it's probably a little less liberal than some places, but it is kind of a purple state. Do you feel like you have support from elected officials, the DA, judges, even community members?
Because it is purple. It's a swing state for sure. So it feels very 50-50 when it comes to the DAs, comes to our elected officials. I mean, our last sheriff just got elected as governor, and he's a conservative guy. So we're back to being somewhat of a red state. But without Vegas, like Clark County, the rest of the state is just farmers, mine workers, just blue collared people that are always vote red. And then you got Clark County, that's always the man, what are they going to be this election cycle? But community wise, we have the support of the people in the community. For the most part, I feel Metro does pretty well with being just super transparent. I don't know if this is true, but they, our admin talks about we were kind of the pioneers with the whole, like, anytime we get into a critical incident, we're super transparent. We just immediately give out a brief of what happened, who the guy was, why officers did what they did, and here's the body camera, just so people don't just start prematurely burning stuff down. And because of that, we've been able to save our butts in a lot of situations. And I think transparency has been key of getting that support from the community. And in the end, we don't get too much pushback from them.
Yeah, I feel like Vegas, and I'll be honest with y'all, I don't spend a ton of time, because I do a lot of this, I don't spend a lot of my time like reading articles or watching shooting videos like some other people do. But I've noticed that most of the Vegas ones are pretty fucking legit, and the officers are very well trained. And Vegas, I think, just does a pretty good job about releasing the videos pretty damn quick, is my perception. So I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, it's been like that for a while. And there's been a lot of we get a lot of shootings recently that sound bad, like on paper or through rumors. And then because of that immediate release, you see it, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. This guy is a shit bag. Imagine that. So
Weird.
the community's cool with it. Yeah.
And again, this is just my perception, but for a big city agency, and I know like, New York NYPD has like 30,000 people, and there's bigger departments, obviously, but 2,500, that's a lot of fucking cops. My perception out of Vegas is for a big department, you guys are pretty well trained. Am I on the right path with that? Do you guys feel like you guys have pretty good training?
Yeah, we do. I think it's a mixture of we're hiring cops now that are, want to train, that are, for the most part, they have that quote unquote tactical mindset. They like to go shooting, they like to train, stuff like that. And then We have mandatory training throughout the year. You know, on top of our quarterly quals, we have stuff like, it's called like advanced officer skills training. We have to go to once a year, which is a 10 hours of just scenarios, and they talk about stuff. We got other ones called RBT, and then we got MACTAC stuff, which is like active shooter stuff and more of the high speed stuff. So it's constant training, which is a good thing. Obviously, there's some things that I feel like the department still needs to work on. And with our new sheriff, who's made life way better so far, I feel like he's just going to put it over the edge, kind of put the cherry on top of training and make sure we're kind of set with everything. Cause for the longest time, with our last sheriff, and this isn't, I'm not talking shit, it's just the way it was. And he didn't like rifles for some reason, like the ARs, like officers with ARs. So for the longest time, nobody wanted to pull them out because anytime you pulled out a rifle, you had to do a use of force report because it was showing a big, scary rifle to the public. And so we had to document that. And so nobody wanted to do that. And, you know, anybody who has a little bit of a, tactical mindset at all, any basic cop knows that, a rifle it's great for keeping your distance, and they're more accurate, and you can create that distance. But for some reason, our last administration or whatever, the sheriff, he just didn't like that. And I feel like that was always lacking with our department, because everybody else was pulling out rifles for felony stops and stuff. And, it's just a better weapon system. And then Metro, we were getting trained on going into active shooters with everybody just had a handgun. I was like, this just doesn't feel right. So, but it's supposed to change here.
Good. Yeah. It's, it's funny. Like, I think you could talk to any cop in the country and they'd be like, well, I wish we did this better, but just my perception, and especially cause you're talking about doing actual training. You know, what my department did for years is maybe once a year we would do actual training. And don't get me wrong, like some stuff is good. Like they made a big deal out of stretching, and like, I don't know if they called it tactical medicine. I don't know No, that's not right. But stretching and stuff like that, because it said, you're more likely to prevent injuries or, retire, be healthier if you, whatever. Okay, that's great. Okay. But I couldn't remember the last time we actually did scenarios or went back to the basics. It was always just dumb fucking shit we didn't need. How many fucking times a year do we need to do with quality? And it's good to hear you guys actually get training and not just foo-foo bullshit to make the public happy.
Yeah. We have a pretty good training program. And I think a big reason for that is because we have if they're full-time training instructors. So you can apply as a patrol cop to go be full-time training up at we call it Advanced Training Bureau. And so that's all they do. They'll go and they'll just train. They'll come up with training programs. They'll go out to other agencies, other departments. And they're just, that's all they do is just look up training. How can we do things better constantly? So I feel like we're lucky there. And I think that's the problem with a lot of other agencies is, sometimes they just don't have the manpower for that. They have a part-time training officer who, whenever he can, can come up with a lesson plan and then go teach it. So that's kind of not their fault. It's just kind of sucks that they're in that situation, especially in today's days.
In my humble opinion, if I had to say on anything, and I'm an idiot, but if I had to say on anything, police departments, I think moving forward, need to schedule and plan for regular fucking training. It should be continual training. I know some departments where, because of the way the shifts overlap, they have like one day in the middle of the week where they have two squads on. Well, one whole fucking team can train that day, and they can alternate. I mean, I get it. Small towns and stuff maybe don't have the resources, but in a perfect world, you should be doing fairly regular training, and it doesn't have to be horrendous training, but if you want to be a good cop, you need to be cognizant that there's shit you need to practice, and there's going to be shit that comes up that you can learn from. But if you never hear about it, then you're not going to learn from it. So I think there's a lot of lessons you can learn from success and failure all across the country in law enforcement that don't have to be knee-jerk reaction training. It can actually be well thought out training and actually take a good deep dive. But that's just me. Actually, I got to be honest with you, man. Las Vegas sounds like a really good place to be a cop based on our interaction.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to turn into like a recruiting video or anything, but it really is. I've really enjoyed it. I've definitely obviously had thoughts of lateraling to Phoenix because of a buddy I have over there. But, you know, with especially with our new sheriff and then where I work with my leadership there, my sergeant and lieutenant, and the training we have, the stuff they allow us to do, it really is a great place to be a cop. You know, just like everywhere else, you still have officers that talk shit, they'll complain, this, that. I'm like, man, and they don't really realize how good they have it over here, because I don't think they're really paying attention to a lot of agencies in like California or, you know, places like that where they really have their hands tied behind their back. And so it kind of gets me upset when they complain, but I get it. You know, I complain too sometimes certain things, but I kind of have to snap back to reality and be like, this is a really good place. We're kind of spoiled.
Well, and you know, to be fair, I think you probably have rose colored glasses. You're still kind of new, but with that said, yeah. In 2023, what you're describing sounds pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. And I've always said, you know, like, you know, I joined, I'm still a brand new cop. And you get all these older guys that, you know, I've worked with patrol officers, been on patrol for 25 years. And I do feel bad for them because they had to go through, you know, when they joined, they were free to be cops, you know, put criminals behind bars and those criminals stayed behind bars. And then they had to see this slow transition into what it is now. Excuse me. And I just became a cop in the middle of it. So this is all I know. But it's good to me. It's good. What I see it as a good thing. I like it, but I totally can empathize with those older senior cops who are like, oh no, it's not what it used to be. And like, no, I'm sure it's not, but I'm sure it could be way worse though, from what I'm seeing in other departments.
You know, the unfortunate reality of this conversation, and I'll never forget when I was new, I'd go on a call with a 20-year guy and they would fucking complain the whole time about fucking everything. Yeah. And I'm just like, fuck, dude, we get paid pretty well here. It's a fun job. I wouldn't say it's an easy job, but some of the shit is pretty easy. Like, calm down. And then I would tell myself, I'm never, ever going to be them. And look at what I've become. I am them. I've become what I swore to destroy. And unfortunately, not to be a dick, but there's a high likelihood you will too.
No, I think I circle of, you know, life. I'm not totally ignorant to think that I'm never going to be that. I'm like, man, I'm sure it's going to come one day, but at least right now, just keep my head up, you know, be positive. I work with a great squad. You know, I work with great leadership and a great, like my great area command. So just enjoy it, because I'm sure that time's going to come, but it's not now. So don't complain now. I don't know.
So let me ask you this, and we have a lot of ground to cover, and we have a lot of Instagram questions. There's a topic you want to cover, and then we got all the other fun stuff we do. But something I'm always curious about these big cities is really the responsibilities of patrol and how they work in different areas. So, you know, like in New York, you know, an arrest, they're off the fucking street for the rest of their lives, it seems like, and detectives handle a lot of calls. In Vegas, are you responsible for a lot of your calls, or do detectives come up and mop things up? How does it work?
Yeah. So anything violent, felon, like a felony, you're going to make a detective call out. You're going to have to at least notify them, which is cool. Cause obviously, you know, like, oh, well, I just do my report, take them to jail, and the detectives take over and they get to do all that stuff. I can go next call. But at the same time, it also, what I don't like about it is you don't really get to see the outcome of your arrest, where it goes. Simple things though, we'll do the arrest and we'll do, you know, the whole booking, we'll do the report. We can not so much follow up, but yeah, detectives, they take over anything violent like that. Whether it's, so every area command, so it's like our department split up into area commands. I guess some people call them like precincts, and every area command has their own area command detectives. And then we have like bureau detectives, you know, robbery, like for commercial places or banks. And then your homicide detectives that cover just like the whole county. So for the most part, they're going to get called out.
Fair enough. So it sounds a lot like where I worked. So here's what we're going to talk about right now. And I've asked a lot of the guests recently, because we've hit a lot of the states, not all of them, but a few of them. And I feel like there's a lot of things to talk about as far as law enforcement goes. I know this is kind of a niche little community, but I think there's a lot of good things to have conversations about, right or wrong, just to get it out there, make people think a little bit. So I have asked people, you know, hey, if there's something near and dear to you that you want to talk about, let's talk about it. And what you brought up was the concept of newer officers jumping to a special assignment before they are really seasoned cops, which I agree with that based on what you said. I think a lot of us, not everybody, and we'll get into that, a lot of people see new cops get into a special assignment, and I kind of feel bad for them, because at some point they'll be back on the road, and they kind of miss out on all the experience they should get. And I, you know, it's weird to me seeing a new cop that doesn't really know how to be a cop yet going into a high speed assignment. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I only speak for Metro, but when I got in 4 years ago, so it hasn't been that long, but there's always been this culture. This, we call it the Metro culture, of everybody just saying, all right, get out of patrol as fast as you can. You know, teenagers don't have field training. You know, you got your academy mates or guys you work with, like, oh, where are you trying to go to? Where are you trying to go to? It's the first question anytime you meet like a cop you've never met before. And so it's kind of pushed on, kind of ingrained in you in the academy to go somewhere new. But then I don't know, maybe I'm just biased towards patrol, because I love being a patrol cop. And you see these younger cops go into these special detective units or, you know, stuff like that, and they don't know anything about patrol. And with our department, like, everything, any specialized unit is in support of patrol. So to me, it doesn't make sense to, as a brand new cop who still doesn't even know how to handle a domestic call, going into a special assignment that's going to end up supporting patrol when they don't even know how patrol works. And, you know, you get people saying, oh, you're just jealous of it. Like, maybe, I don't know, I don't feel jealous. Maybe it is, and I just haven't come to reality with it. But, you know, I don't think it's fair to them, because then they're not going to want to come back to patrol. You know, from whatever specialized unit they're in, they're going to either want to promote or go into something even bigger. And then eventually they're going to get to a point where, yeah. And then they're going to get to a point where they're in like this really advanced leadership, and they're going to start making policy for patrol. And it's just, you know, we have, I'm sure every department has that, but you got these people that are, you know, way up there in rank, deputy chiefs and captains and stuff, that are making policy for patrol, and they haven't spent 2 seconds on there. And so I don't understand how they can do that. And I don't know. Again, probably just me complaining. Maybe, you know, it sounds like I'm just butthurt, but it's just the way I thought, I guess.
No, it makes sense to me. Now, I'm completely agree with you on this. And this is one of those, when I make memes about the subject, it is very touchy in the comment section, because I think there's some people that are like, hey, you make fun of me. That's not funny.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, most of the memes make fun of me. Calm down. It's okay to laugh at yourself. But one of the comments that actually I read the other day, I was like, huh, objectively, this makes sense. The guy, you know, was basically, and I don't remember what meme it was, but the comment was basically, you're just mad that somebody else got it, but you didn't even put in for the position. So you're mad about a new guy putting in for a position and getting it that you didn't apply for. Which, to be fair, there have been, towards the end of my career, when I was totally burnt out, I was trying to get off the road to kind of salvage my career. And twice, like, rookies got special assignments. One time without there being interviews, and then the other time there were interviews. I get it. You're not going to always get the position. However, there have been plenty of times when there's positions that I know I didn't apply for. I know my buddies didn't apply for. And we're talking shit about somebody. Well, they're fucking new. How the fuck did they get that? And so I'm trying to be objective about it. I'm like, well, I guess they put in for it. They're the only people that put in for it. I guess they got to pick from the new people. I know that's not always true. I know senior cops put in for it. But I do think it's a fair point, though, is if they have a spot, they have to fill it. And the only people that are applying are new. Well, then they gotta fill it with a new guy, I guess, right?
No, that's true. Like, in my air command, there's a specialized unit right now that they need to fill three positions. And the sergeant over there is like, yeah, I've only had two people reach out to me. So, I mean, I could apply for it. I have buddies on that unit. Like, hey, you need to apply for it. But I'm not going to, because I just don't feel like I've met my goal of being a professional street cop, I guess you want to call it. But yeah, if a new guy applies for it and he gets it, you know, I feel like he shouldn't, but if that's the only person that's going to apply, I mean, you gotta feel it. So these senior guys don't want it. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that. It's just a weird situation, and I don't know. There's never the right answer, I guess.
Yeah. And I do generally, actually, I do completely agree with what you're saying. I think, you know, this one comment, it gave me pause, and I was like, all right, that makes sense. But, and again, I've only worked for one agency, so I'm speaking for the culture in my agency. When I was new, I was told by my FTO, if there's something you want to do, you better put in for it pretty quick after FTO, or you're never going to get it. Because once you make it past 3-4 years, they will forget about you, and you're just a number at that point.
Yeah.
And he was fucking right about that, which I think speaks to a cultural problem within at least my agency, and I don't know if it's other agencies. I would say that the culture was the people that got into special assignments at my old agency, 95% of the time, they were people that had already been in a special assignment. And that was something I was told too after I interviewed. My first interview, it was like, hey, just keep putting in for them. Even if it's somewhere you don't want to go, just so we know, you know, so command needs to know who you are. And that told me all I needed to know about how Forgotten Patrol was.
Yeah.
Is if you're not like in these, and it was basically a club. Once you got into the club, you were cool. You could get to another special assignment, but you had to be in the club. So it was, you were in the club or you were a new cop. There was another thing that could get you in, but we're not going to talk about that today. So
I don't know what you're talking about. What is it? I'm just kidding.
So, you know, so you had those three factors. That was how people got into special assignments. And I think that is why a lot of people just kind of gave up on putting in for special assignments. In a perfect world, to me, I know for me, I was pretty confident at 3 years, but I knew I didn't know everything. I think at 5-6 years, I probably would have been okay to go to a special assignment. But really, you know, 7-8 years is when I really everything kind of started to click. And I was pretty confident in any kind of call I'd handle. And maybe before that, too. But I felt at that point like I was at peak, like I was as good of a cop as I could maybe get. Maybe, you know what? That's stupid. You can always get better. Ignore what I just said, kids. But but with that said, I just think you're doing people generally a disservice as a new cop by putting them in a special assignment at a year and a half or like 6 months off the road, because exactly like you're saying, they're not going to work patrol again. And at some point, if they follow that trajectory, they're going to be in a special assignment, or I'm sorry, they're going to promote, and they're not going to know how to supervise patrol cops, or they're going to be making policy for patrol, something they did for 6 months. And I think that's a huge problem within law enforcement that I think culturally needs to be fixed.
Yeah. And that's where my main, I guess, gripe is. You know, there's always those exceptions, and, you know, well, roles got to be filled. And I totally get that. But in the end, to me, that's what it comes down to. You know, if you're not, shouldn't be supervising patrol cops when you've really never been one.
I think we've hammered that one down. I think our complaints have been heard.
I think it's dead.
It's still, you know what? It's now that you brought it up and I instantly was mad again. I was like, you motherfucker. Making me angry again. So let's do this. Let's do our officer of the podcast. Do a complete 180 here. And do our officer of the podcast. As you guys know, if you listen to the podcast on a fairly regular basis, or maybe you listened before and just started listening again, we brought back the officer of the podcast. This, what we're doing this time is Ghost Patch. My buddies over at Ghost Patch have donated some patches specifically and only for the officer of the podcast. The only way anyone will get a hold of these patches is if you steal them out of the dungeon or if you win. So what you need to do, nominate your buddy who's doing good work that's being recognized, and you want to recognize them on a quote-unquote more national scale, or hell, they're being ignored by command because they're not special. Let's give them a little attaboy. So nominate them, poorlymadepolicememes@gmail.com. Let me know why they kick ass, and potentially they could win. I am always low on these, so nominate your buddies, okay? I don't want to surprise anybody, but Officer Blankety is back in the leader's chair. Lloyd, this has been a tough choice. My agency rarely recognizes officers for their work, dedication, or extraordinary actions, so choosing just one person has been a difficult choice. However, I'd like to nominate a good friend and mentor. Let's call him Blankety. He has been my defensive tactics instructor in my first academy and pushed all us recruits hard. That's what she said. As defensive tactics instructor, he took the role very seriously and studied BJJ on his own time without support from the agency. And it's in parentheses here. It's frowned upon to train martial arts because of the optics.
Oh, gosh.
If you're an admin and you're concerned about optics, that just tells me you don't care about cops and you should go fuck yourself. Yeah. He took on more instructor roles without agency compensation. He has coordinated our annual refreshers for the past 7 years and has developed his own lessons plans for officer-involved shootings, vehicle ambushes, and high-risk traffic stops. He's encouraged me to take on some of his instructor roles and has allowed me, as a boot, to assist with teaching others. He exemplifies professionalism and dedication. He's about to retire quietly with no fanfare and focus on healing from the toll of 30 years on the road. To this end, I'd like to nominate him for the officer of the podcast because of all he has done to raise the training standards of the agency and encourage myself and others to maintain the professionalism in an agency that cares so little for its officers. Respectfully, Blankety Blank. So, he has won. Does he deserve a round of applause, T-Rex, or air horns?
Shoot. With that bio, that guy won in my heart.
Let's give him a T-Rex.
Yeah.
So now, before we get to my dumb questions, Instagram has not failed us, so let's dive into that, which we haven't done Instagram in a while. Thanks, you guys, for stepping up to the plate. The first question, why does your department issue battle belts? What the hell is that?
We don't issue battle belts. That's the end of the question? There's no context behind that?
Yeah, what's a battle belt?
I don't know. We're not issued. So we're issued, like, in the academy, those the basket weave leather crap. And then after that, you can just go buy whatever black belt you want. And then that's it. I don't know what he's talking about. I know there's maybe what he's seeing is, like, these there's a lot of people, these cops coming out of the academy, they go to their local gun store and get that, the high-speed gear belts. They look padded and thick and ugly. And if that's what he's talking about, it's not issued. It's just culture thing. I don't know.
So I have a couple questions about October 1st, but that was before you started, right? A couple years.
Yeah, I was still in the Air Force during that.
I was gonna ask something about that. I mean, do you, obviously starting a couple years later, do you know what kind of effect that had on the department? Did anything change as far as training and tactics and stuff go?
Yeah, there's a lot of training that came out of that, mostly how officers responded to it. And then, well, that's kind of mostly it. And then, because during that time, everybody in the city, like, you know, even in the, like the neighborhood, outlying neighborhoods, everybody was rolling to that. There was dudes from home, saw it on the news and just threw on whatever tack vest that they had at home and then grabbed their radio and a gun and took off in their POVs over there. So, and then it kind of just left the rest of the city just in this limbo of no officers. And then so calls for service and crime throughout the rest of the city just went way up. So there's the tactics behind that has changed. So, you know, during, I don't know all the logistics behind it, but, cause I worked the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So on my Saturdays and Sundays, my squad were called what's in the box squad. So if anything happens major throughout the city, they'll start alerting in the box squads, grab your riot gear, your, you know, plate carrier, stuff like that, and go meet at this spot, go meet at this area of command, cause something's happening. And then, so the in the box squads from all over the city will go to that event, whatever's happening. So we're not just completely leaving the area command, you know, high and dry, burned down.
I would assume a lot of the guys on your agency are still there and probably had a pretty profound effect on their mental health. Did the agency that you know of take care of those people?
I don't know any specific stories, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. We're pretty good about that when it comes to like the mental health issues behind everything, even patrol, no matter what you do or whatever assignment you're on. At least for us, mental health's not that weird topic anymore. It's just a normal thing. If you got some shit going on, we have all kinds of resources for you. We even have, like I said, leadership's so cool. Like we'll even have these, just our sergeant lieutenants are just cool enough to be like, hey man, I'm just going to float you this day. Just go home, take care of what you need to take care of and then come back. You know, here's a number. If you need to call a number for these people to talk to somebody, and it's not a weird thing anymore. So
I, and not that you're not good enough, but if somebody that worked, I believe in you. If if there's a Vegas cop that tunes into this and worked during that shooting and wants to come on the podcast and talk about it, I think me and the millions of listeners, we can be serious for a little bit and talk about it a little bit, because I'd be curious on what happened. It's a weird.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
That whole thing. Yeah, that whole thing is a really weird thing to me, you know, because I was, you know, every once in a while I'll read back up on it, and they really didn't ever come with a motive. And I don't know. I mean, I guess some things maybe died with him, but it's weird that they never just, it's weird there was no trail or anything on why that guy did what he did. It's pretty odd to me.
It is weird. You can hear all those conspiracies about it. And I've gone down that rabbit hole and you're like, oh, that is kind of fucking weird, isn't it? But in the end, I like a good conspiracy theory, but I'm not sold on that conspiracy. It was government or whatever they want to call it, or multiple shooters. Because from people I've talked to that were there, they're like, no, it was definitely one. It didn't sound like two guns. There was definitely this echo. There was definitely this. There was definitely that. So, you know, it would be cool to have that, you know, Vegas cop who was there on the podcast kind of tell about it.
Yeah, open invitation, folks. Apparently, you told people you were going to be on this. Which is, that is a rookie mistake, but you're a rookie, so it's forgiven.
Bro, I told two of my good friends who I know aren't Blue Falcons. Why are they in the, are they asking questions?
One of them said that I needed to ask you about your thoughts on gun control and the ATF.
No, we're not going to answer that. You fucking.
You know, I was thinking about this on the toilet today when I saw these questions, because You know, we all see the ATF memes and we laugh and stuff. And I'm genuinely pretty fucking pro 2A. I'm not one of the people that'll go down the rabbit hole of saying, well, once somebody's done their prison time, I really don't want violent felons with handguns and rifles and shit. I get the DV ban, but I think some of it needs to be reined in. Like, if you have a felony for a forgery, does that mean you can't protect yourself anymore? You know, if you stole a car when you were 18 and it happened to be of high value and you've lived a good life, if you did dope and you got clean, but you got a conviction, does that mean you shouldn't own a handgun? I don't think so, man. I think you should be allowed to. That's just my personal opinion. But I violent criminals, I say fuck yourself. And I thought about that a little bit. And this is just me going on a rant. But when they were coming up with the Second Amendment, right? You know, they had no idea what was in store, right? And I don't just mean in America. I mean, you know, all over the world. Technology was rapidly evolving really from that time period to now. It's crazy, you know, how much different things are in a short, you know, couple hundred years. But, you know, if you robbed the colonial 7-Eleven, they're going to kill you, man. You know what I mean? If you broke into somebody's house, they were going to kill you. You know, you were going to get hung. You know, you weren't going to do double secret probation. So I don't think they ever had any thought about, you know, POWPO or whatever you call it anywhere, you know, a felon with a handgun, whatever law you call it, whatever state. I don't think that was something they ever thought about, because I think the assumption was is if you commit a violent crime, you're going to be killed for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, man, whether you agree with the Second Amendment or not, as of today, guns are so ingrained in our culture and there's so many of them that we're not getting rid of them. No matter what we do, that's just that topic needs to just get thrown out the window. We need to figure out, okay, what else can we do? Because guns aren't going anywhere and they never will. No matter how hard you wish and hope and pray for it, it's not going to happen. So,
yeah,
I do agree though, like violent felons who are obviously using guns to take away other people's rights, you know, like their freedoms and their lives and their property and stuff like that. Yeah, I can agree there. That person is not using that gun for its intended purpose. So kind of fuck that guy. But that's kind of where it ends for me for the most part without getting too many details. So
no, I hear you. I think some of this stuff, and it's the problem with this country, I think, right now is no one's willing to like listen at all. Like we're just going to scream what we believe at other people. And you know, the people that don't want guns at all, like that's what you want. Like, okay, I get that. But there's so many people, I would argue more than half of the country, gun culture, like you said, is ingrained. How about we come to a compromise and actually like talk? You know what I think would be a great compromise? Enforcing the laws on the books. You know, let's start there. Okay. Instead of,
now you're getting a little ridiculous.
To enforce laws that are on the books. I know, fuck me. You know, it just cracked me up as I caught a dude. It was like a burglar or something, and he was a gang member, and I caught him with a fucking gun, and it was fucking clean case. You know, the guy admitted to buying it, and it was stolen too. The gun was stolen too. He admitted to buying it off somebody on one of our bad streets for like, it was a nice gun too. I think it was a Glock. And you know, usually you get these guns and they're total pieces of shit, but this is actually like a nice gun.
Oh yeah.
Had the wrong ammo in it, but he tried. And they gave him like double secret probation. And it's like, okay, you want people to stop killing each other and cops go out and do the good work, but you're there's no incentive for them to stop carrying handguns illegally. I hate to break it to you folks, and we know, I'll tell you right now, mass shootings are a very American problem. I get that, and I think we should work towards something that addresses that. But most of the people in this country that die due to gang violence or due to handgun violence, and it's gangs. Most of it is gangs. It's not, yep, you know, mass shootings. That doesn't make up a large number of people murdered every year. So maybe let's take guns out of gang members' hands. That would be awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like we started 2023 off with a bang, no pun intended, but a lot of homicides. And man, it's just, you look at them, majority of them, man, are just criminal on criminal. And both sides are like long rap sheet and stuff like that. And I agree. Like that's, if you want to stop, if you want to make those numbers go down, man, make it so they can't have the guns or take away their guns. But I mean, I don't know how you're going to do that for the most part, besides the whole, you know, once you catch them, don't let them back out. But I guess that's just asking way too much.
I know. Fuck me for even thinking that. Sorry. Back to the drawing board, I guess. Happier subjects. I'm supposed to ask, are East Side Cops different than West Side Cops in the Valley?
Yes, 100%.
Tell me about
this. And if any Vegas West Side Cops are listening, just calm down. It's okay. You'll be okay. But the East Side's where it's at, man. And it's where all the violent crime happens. It's where all the fun crime happens. It's where you learn to be a real down and dirty street cop. And I'm very biased, so take that for what it's worth. I'm an East Side. I work on the East Side, and it's just bred different, man. We got better leadership, I feel like. We got better just patrol cops and better tactics. But again, that's just me being biased, so chill out if anybody on the West Side is listening.
Are the valleys divided really... by the Strip or what? How is it divided?
Yeah, I guess I can explain that better. So it's divided by, it's basically the Strip or like the freeway at I-15. And on the West Side, for the most part, is a really nice part of town. It's where all, it's where all the rich people live. It's where all just normal people live. So not to say they don't get crime. They do. I mean, it's Vegas in the end, and you got shitty people no matter where you go. So, but on the East Side, it's like a different world. You cross the, you go on the East Side of the Strip and just start making your way east, and it's just a different world. It feels like a totally different place, different city. I love it over there. It's fun. So
I'm supposed to also ask, what is a Metro Cadet?
A cadet? Did you have cadets in your when you were on your department?
We had explorers. I feel like they used to have cadets. I don't fucking know though. It wasn't really something I got into or cared about.
Like on our squad, we have a cadet, and he's 20 years old, so he's not a cop, but he wears a uniform. It kind of makes him look like a cop, which is kind of, I don't know, in my opinion, scary, because he can't carry a gun. He can only have OC spray. He just goes around and does report calls. That's it. If it's no suspects there, it's just, it's just going to be a report. They'll just send him, and he'll just go do the report. But he looks like a fucking cop. So he, like, we kind of, he's like a little brother that you're sending out there, and you're kind of making sure you're watching on him. Like, man, because people think he's a cop.
So I have a question based on the East Side and West Side, but I'll get back to that in a second. But I'm trying to think, there's another name for people that do that, but not at my department, but I'd seen it in other agencies where they had civilians that would go take cold calls, even accident reports, like civilian accident report investigators. I'm not totally opposed to that, but my problem with that is, I would go, I've gone on cold calls that are supposed to be a nothing burger, and it fucking blows up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you're sending somebody there that really can't defend themselves or has proper training or a gun or whatever you may need on that call. And I just feel like sometimes that shit happens. Like when it doesn't happen, great. It's cool. There's somebody to handle that call and take the burden off of patrol for something that, somebody not getting paid a patrol cop pay could take care of. But I don't necessarily like those positions. I think there's some problems with that.
Whenever he's on a call, always try to be mindful where he's at, listening to his call sign stuff. But what's cool with him is he turns – when the cadets turn 21, they're basically guaranteed an academy spot though. So they're cadets to become actual police officers. So it's like cool. 19, 20-year-olds. And then once you turn 21 – the next academy after your birthday, you're going in. And then it's just, I like that aspect of it, because then you kind of know, you're hanging around so many cops for so long that you kind of get the idea, kind of have some life experience. It's not much, but it's better than just some kid who's never even talked to a cop, become a cop. So
how is, I forgot to ask this earlier, but how's the Vegas Academy? Is it, I assume it's an in-house academy. Is it like paramilitary or college, or how's it work?
Yeah, it's paramilitary. They talk about how, I don't know, I'm an idiot, so I never went to college, but the, our lieutenant there, the academy lieutenant, says it's in line with college when it comes to academics. It's going to be a college-paced academy, so whatever that means. But yeah, there's yelling, running, working out, getting smoked, stuff like that. But it's in-house. We do – there's a small little town just north of Vegas at the very edge of the county called Mesquite, Nevada. They have their own police department, and they send their officers through our academy. So you'll see them every once in a while, but it's for the most part in-house.
Okay. So I was going to ask, and I think it's further down the line in Instagram, somebody had asked about this too, because you were talking about the west side and the east side, and I assume there's, you know, more than that. I suppose there's probably a bunch of precincts or whatever you guys call them out there. But
yeah,
can you transfer over? Do you guys have like a bid, or are you kind of where you're at?
Yeah, so there's both. So every year, like right now, we're about to do our we call it the bump, the yearly bump. So this next week is kind of the rotation. I'm staying where I'm at because I've been there for a long time, so I'm pretty much have my spot secured there. But you can, you know, try to request, like during the bump, they'll throw out a bump sheet and like, hey, you know, fill out your top whatever squads you want to go to, like your dream sheet, where you want to go, and then we'll stick you wherever available. And then during the bump, everything will rotate. And then throughout the year, you can always just put in a transfer. If you want to go to a different area command, just put in your transfer. And then if they have an opening, they'll send you over there. And it's pretty easy. Like if you want to go somewhere else, you're pretty much almost guaranteed to go there. So
I guess since you haven't really worked the strip, I would just be curious, are those coveted spots? Do people like working that area, or does it kind of suck?
Man, it's the strip. You either, the cops there either love it or hate it. And I haven't really met anybody that's like in between, and they get made fun of a lot, and it's kind of all in fun. We're just joking with them, so they don't need to take it too personally, but you know, we kind of call them glorified security guards because they go to a lot of calls where that's just what they feel like, you know, like a trespassing or a little petty larceny where they just need to kick them out and stuff like that. We kind of poke fun at them, like, oh, you're going over there to the strip. All right, well, congratulations on your early retirement. Kind of a joke type thing. But, you know, they still get their fair share of stuff. So it's all in fun.
I would feel like on the strip, a lot of it's like amateur night, though, too. Like, you know, every fucking guy ever. Like, that's to me, I'm not going to lie, I've been wanting to go to Vegas for a long time. Not necessarily like a guy's trip, but I envision entering a plane drunk, landing in Vegas drunk, being drunk for 72 hours, and then getting back on the plane drunk. That is a dream of mine, and hopefully I'll be able to fulfill it at some point. Some may say that's alcoholism. I disagree. But
no, man.
I do feel like it's got to be amateur night, like, because – this is like guy's dream trip and people just do the dumbest fucking shit.
Yeah, that's that sounds about right from what I hear. Just dealing with a bunch of drunk people. I guess in their defense though, you know, they're dealing with people from all over the world that come, and during the whole COVID thing, the casinos thought it would be a great idea to like discount rooms, even for like the nice casinos, like discount them to ridiculous prices, like anybody can go. And then all drinks were like half off. So you'll get like the shittiest people throughout the whole world. Oh, hell yeah. I can go afford Vegas now. So they go there and they were just causing hell, man. Like the strip at one point felt like it was just burning down. I'm like, man, like we're joking with them. Like, man, they're becoming real cops lately. They're getting all these stabbings and shootings. And it was like the strip became like a ghetto at one point. It was crazy.
You know, I didn't think of it that way. And I was going to say though, I thought, you know, Vegas seems like not like super cheap, but a relatively affordable vacation, because they want you to get there and then they want to take your fucking house note because you gamble your house away. Like they want to get you in so you spend all the money on the casino.
Yeah.
That's my perception, at least.
You're probably right. And because I have buddies that they go to the strip a lot, they go drink and they'll even, you know, take their wives to a hotel room and stuff like that and spend time with them. I've never done that, so I can't really say, but you know, I imagine you're right.
I don't want to brag or anything, and I think by the time this podcast comes out, I'm going to take a poorly made vacation, and I'm going to go to the Las Vegas of the Midwest. Do you know what that is?
No, what is it?
Branson, Missouri.
Branson?
Branson.
Man, what they got going over there?
Apparently, it's supposed to be cool. I don't know if they have casinos or not, but I guess they have a bunch of shows and stuff, and the kids will be on spring break, so we're going to take the road trip down to the fine state of Missouri. And side note, by the way, because I'm thinking about it, there's a place in Missouri called Uranus, and there's a whole store where you can get Uranus gear and Uranus fudge, and it's just a little out of the way, and we're not going to go get Uranus fudge, and I'm fucking disappointed about that.
That's amazing. Where is that in relation to like Kansas City?
I think it's on Interstate 44, and I would say it's, if I had to guess, just it's about in the middle of the state. I would say it's about 2.5 hours from KC would be my guess. Because KC is on the far west side of Missouri, and then St. Louis is on the far east side of the story of Missouri. So Missouri is really nice, except the edge. A lot of farmland, a lot of hills. Yeah.
When I was in the Air Force, I did a TDY there. It was St. Joseph, Missouri. And then we went down to Kansas City. Dude, I loved it there. Cause when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed up in Washington State. And you know, you got all those wonderful people up there that just hate the military. And then when we went to Missouri, like this, we tried so hard to pay for like our own meals and stuff, and nobody would let us pay for our meals. And we were like welcomed with open arms. And I was like, man, why people were just so nice that I considered moving there. I love Missouri just from that experience.
I like Missouri. You know, people make fun of it. I will say that St. Joe, in my opinion, is a fucking shithole. My travels there, but it's not bad though. I mean, it's not horrible. It's just kind of run down. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in KC. I've been wanting to check out KC a little bit more. Everybody up here in Iowa is fucking Chiefs fans, so that's a thing.
Yeah.
Back on topic, before we give the state of Missouri, I'm going to charge them for tourism right now. I talked about Uranus, KC. Don't ever go to St. Louis, anybody. Don't go. There's no reason to go. I've always wanted to go to the Arch, but it's not worth it. Don't go. I'm ignorant to this. In Nevada, is prostitution legal? Or is it in certain places it's legal?
It is everywhere but Clark County, where Vegas is. And you obviously, it's those brothels. You got to have like the licenses and stuff like that. So,
are there brothels in Vegas, or is it completely illegal in Clark County?
It's quote unquote illegal. So they have their little loopholes that these escort services like to do. So in the end, I don't know, man. Like if you're hardcore trapping people, yeah, you're a piece of shit. You deserve to go to prison, but it's just a misdemeanor in the end. And then by the time you're done with your paperwork, she's already walking back out looking for the next person. So there's that.
Yeah, I have basically, I think my thoughts mirror yours as far as prostitution goes. Because it's my body and my choice, right? If you freely want to be a prostitute and sell your body for sex, I don't know that I necessarily have an issue with that. That's just my opinion. Yeah, the problem, though, is how many people actually want to do that? And a lot of this is trafficking.
Yeah. So what I tell these people that are visiting, that, you know, they're looking for a prostitute and they think it's legal here. I'm like, man, 45 minutes away, Knight County. It's legal over there. There's a whole brothel. Go get your pee pee wet over there. Don't bring it over here. I'm sure it's cost a lot of money, but hey, don't do it here.
With the brothel, like they're all on the up and up, I assume. You know, is that like one of those things you have to get a professional license through the state? Like, I don't have AIDS, I can be a hooker kind of thing. Do you have to get tested?
Yeah, I believe so. Wow. Yeah, I believe so. But we just had a big shooting at a brothel up in it was like Reno area. Really? I guess one of the workers there. I don't know all the details, but she got like, she went crazy and just went in and started shooting people.
But in Nevada, I assume like your street level prostitution is always illegal. The only way you can do it is in a brothel, right?
Yeah. So, well, like I said, even in Clark County, brothels are illegal. You can't do any of that. We're the only county. So any prostitution is illegal in Clark County.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if Nevada was one of those places outside of Clark County where, like, you could just, you know, be on the side of I-15 and, you know, open up yourself for service kind of thing. You actually have to have, you know, a place, an establishment to conduct such activities.
Yeah, no, you can't do that here. I mean, there's a lot of quote unquote massage parlors, stuff like that. They're always getting shut down, and then people are trying to find their loopholes through it, but I can't do it.
I'm curious why. I'm sure you don't know, but I'm curious why Clark County doesn't allow brothels. I would just assume that would be a boon for tourism, but maybe they just don't want the drama associated with it.
Yeah, I'm sure they have their reasons. I don't know what it is, but you feel like it would be. A lot of people do think it's legal here because they're like, it's Vegas. So like, they think there's so many laws that are that don't apply in Vegas. I'm like, no, man, you still can't do that.
Now my mind's wandering, why or how much would it cost to go to a brothel and get your dick whacked? I just got to feel like it's a exuberant amount of money. It's probably like, how much you got to pay for a BJ there? I wonder if they have a menu online on how much these things cost. I'm going to get fucking know. My account. I'm going to get my Google shut down when I Google what I'm about to Google. How much?
Yeah.
How much? Should I go in incognito? How much is a BJ at the brothel?
You put like the chicken ranch in Nevada.
Oh, there you go. We'll put the chicken ranch. I don't like that it's called the chicken ranch. That's a little.
Yeah, I don't get it. Okay. I think like for some of the stuff, it's like thousands. Again, I've never been there. True story. Never been there. So.
All right. Reddit has the answer for us. Apparently the original poster deleted it, but let's see. This is Par Hump City. 45 minutes outside of Vegas.
Oh, it's Pahrump.
Whatever. Fuck off.
I'll say where?
Where? It's a hand job. The only thing you could get under $700 is a hand job. That would have to be the best.
Holy
fucking
shit.
Hand
a lot
job.
Of money.
Holy crap. For just a handy, that's a lot. No, thank you.
700.
$700 on a handy, man. I'm just going to go ahead and do it myself. It'll be like Thanos. Fine. I'll do it myself. That is worth the video itself. I need somebody to go in there, record the interaction. And when they say it'll be $700 for a handy, they need to put on like the Infinity Gauntlet and say, fine, I'll do it myself. I would pay $700 for that. Just kidding. Please don't do it. But do it for free. Thank you.
Damn, it might be cheaper just to get married.
Okay, so here's an interesting question, because we've been talking about how good policing is here. Somebody wrote in, with a questionable stance on policing in your state, how do you stay motivated and how's your morale? What do you think they could be referring to there?
In our state?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe other departments. I know. Because outside of like Reno and Vegas, you got all these small counties. Like, oh, they're big counties. They're huge, like square miles. But like manpower, they're just small sheriff's departments. And I know they're kind of suffering when it comes to manpower. If that's what he's talking about. But morale is good right now. We just, like I said, we've got a new sheriff. He's changing a lot. When it comes to uniforms, we can have beards now. He's doing a whole wellness program it's focusing on just like officers' mental health, like talking about like buying a whole like separate building that is full with just like a CrossFit type gym, psychiatrist, physical therapist, and that's kind of free to officers. I don't know how it's gonna get funded. I'm sure they know how, but that we can just go to and, you know, take care of our mental health and physical health. But yeah, I'm not sure what he's talking about there. Unless he's working, like talking about a different like area command, but I don't know. I can't speak for them.
What about bail reform? Because I have some questions about bail reform Is that a big problem for you guys right now?
Yeah, we've been having, so I know the last couple of months we've had issues where these real violent felons like attempt murder people or even like actual murderers that go to prison, they get, the judge just lets them out. And we've just had a couple recently. While they're out, a week later they go and stab and kill somebody. And there's, I know of two of them right now that, I know one that is just recent everybody's talking about, but that kind of has been an issue. People wanting to hold these judges accountable for just letting these people out. It's crazy when you look at what they're in for anyway, and you know, just waiting for trial, whatever, and the judge just lets them out and then they go and do something like that. Like, all right, well, you can't really blame patrol anymore for anything we do. You know, we look at somebody cross-eyed sometimes and, you know, oh, it's a use of force report. Don't do that again. But you can have these judges let out murderers just to go kill other people.
Somebody asked what your name is because they work for Vegas. And I told him, not today, IA. I don't think so.
It's Bugsy Siegel.
Common spelling. Somebody, apparently a dispatcher from Vegas, wrote in and asked, why don't you guys use your arrive button when you arrive on calls?
Hey, I know that's been, I've heard that being an issue. I always do, okay? And not to, I don't know if there's any dispatchers, but I always use my arrive button, and I always try to be as nice as I can to them. Because I know their job sucks, I'm sure. Well, not sucks, but I know it's stressful. You know, you got officers who are just complete assholes on the radio. There's no need for it. Like, she's just, you only have to deal with your radio. She's got to deal with all of us just screaming and yelling and talking over each other. So, besides all that, I use my right button. So I'll spread the word.
I assume our CAD was similar, where we could, you know, arrive, or you could get on the radio and say that you're out. I found it better just to hit the button, stay off the radio. I know there'd be times where I was like 90% sure I clicked it, and I'd get back in the car after, you know, 20, 30 minutes being on scene and thinking, that's weird, they didn't ask for my status, and realizing I never hit arrive. So it happens.
Could your dispatch track you guys, like on your GPS, on your cars? Yes. And stuff?
Yes.
So could ours, yeah. So I don't know how it was with you, but, you know, on these calls, any call, you know, you get two people assigned, two officers assigned. And then the first one, if you arrive, usually that's the only one who says it over the radio. Hey, I'm arrived. Show me arrive. And then the second officer, your backup, would be like, all right, I'm so-and-so out. And that person should hit his arrive button when he gets there.
Do you guys use 10 codes?
No. Metro uses 400 codes. Metro has to be different with everything they do. So we use 400 codes.
What the fuck is a 400 code?
Exactly. Like I said, we have to be different. There's only a very, very few agencies in the country that use 400 codes.
I think my agency was Plainspeak. I think Plainspeak is the way to go. I mean, obviously, there may be some things that are quicker, like 10-4. Okay, you know, everybody knows what that means. But
yeah,
really, like, if you're going to say, you know, on shift or 1041, what's the fucking difference? Just say on duty, just, you know, ask to run a clearance. I don't know. I think 10 code's stupid, but that's my personal opinion. But I know a lot of agencies use 10 code and fuck, people love it, man. They will fucking speak in 10 codes in comment sections, you fucking weirdos.
I can't keep up. I have no idea what they're saying, but I try to use plain speak too. You know, you get these, you get officers that, you know, when they're trying to, you can just say gun. Hey, he has a gun. Or if he has a knife, just say he has a knife. You know, oh, he's got a 413 A. I'm like, just say knife. Is it a knife? Is it okay? Cool. Just say that.
I don't know if you have the answer for this, but gambling statistics: a lot of suicides or people stuck in Vegas because they lost everything. Do you know anything if that's true, or thoughts on that?
I don't have any personal stories about that, or heard anybody with that. I've heard that before. The only experience I've had with gambling in a negative way, I had one of my best friends in high school. His dad got really addicted to gambling, to the point where His wife divorced him. They foreclosed his house, and he had to move to Arizona. So that's all I knew about that.
Gambling is it's not good, but it sure is fun.
No, no,
it sure is fun.
You know, like, everybody's always got a smile on their face when they're gambling. So maybe I'm missing out.
It's great. What's it like only running SUVs and one Taurus throughout the whole department? Rest in peace, Crown Vic.
I don't know. I drove. I think I messaged you a long time ago. Our last Crown Vic in my area command. I would drive that around. Yeah, dude, I felt so hard every time I drove that thing, man. I don't drive it anymore because it's pretty bad. It's always got issues. It's always out of service. But all I really know is the Explorer. Do I like it? I don't know if I like it, but I don't hate it. It's just, it gets me from A to B. So
we're going to do this right now because we're here. Good sir, in your opinion, what is the best patrol car of all time?
I don't know. I don't have experience. Just because
just say Crown Vic.
Not because I'm on your podcast, but it is the Crown Vic because of when I drove that one. Hell yeah, man. That thing was always faster than the Explorers, and it sounded better than the Explorers, and it had that V8, which was real cool. So
best outfit someone had on when being arrested. And I get you don't work on the strip. I'm sure there's A, B, and B's and stuff. Have you seen any goofy shit arresting people?
Oh yeah, man. One that comes to mind is at outside of a Walmart. Imagine that. And it was a DV incident where he was like beating on his girl and they were driving off in a van, and we intercepted the van, had him at gunpoint because you know, there's supposed to be a weapon involved, all that. But the driver we assumed was the female because it looked very female-esque, and ended up being not a female, it was a him. And then his girlfriend, she just looked like a normal person, and he looked like what's his name from Rocky Horror Picture Show, dressed just like that.
Oh yeah, that's fucking awesome.
He was just like that, no underwear on, and he kept bending over to pick up stuff, and it was
Yeah,
that's the one that sticks out. It was horrible. It was nasty. And I got a partner was asking, he's like, just casually asking if he's a tranny. He's like, no, completely straight, not gay or anything. It's just how he dressed. Okay. Their own.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the clip, but I was going to play Sweet Transvestite in Transylvania from that show. What's the dumbest thing a tourist has ever done? I mean, anything dumber than that?
Dumbest thing is tours. Again, I don't know because I don't really work the strip. Where I work, it's just locals. So I don't know. I don't even know any stories about dumb things tourists do. I'm sure they do all the time. Like I said, there's a lot of tourists that I come across. They think there's so many things that are legal in Vegas that are just definitely not. I'm like, man, that's not legal anywhere. You can't do that.
Can you walk around the strip with like an open container of alcohol or no?
Yeah, it just can't be in a glass bottle. So,
okay.
Other than that, you're good to go.
Is weed legal in Nevada or no?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty much treated just like alcohol. So.
Okay. All right. So one guy had a couple questions as far as how many OISs have you been in this week? And have you ever been featured on Donut Operator's channel?
Negative. No.
It does seem like Vegas shoots a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, well.
And most of the time, I haven't seen one where they didn't deserve it. But it seems like maybe it's just the nature of the beast out there.
It's just sometimes, man. So happens when you live in Sin City. So, I had a buddy. Well, I'm not going to say that story. That'll dox me. So, never mind.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want any of that. Do you guys still have patrol? Or, I'm sorry, do you guys still have bubble lights on your patrol?
Yeah. They're horrible looking, man. Like, our last sheriff, he refused to give those up, man. He thought those were the greatest looking things. He's like, oh, hell no, we're keeping those. All right, but.
You know what? All right, so I'm Googling pictures of your cars. I would say it's unique.
Oh, it's, yeah, for sure.
It's weird. Nobody else really does it anymore, but it's, I don't know. I don't have an issue with them. I think it's kind of cool.
Allegedly, all the new, anything new coming out now has the, I don't even know what they're called, those slim ones, those short LED ones. So I guess the bubble's gone away finally.
Rest in peace, bubble lights. Have you had any interactions with famous people?
Famous people. D's Nuts guy. Remember the D's Nuts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know him. Yeah. Well, I don't know him, but...
I feel like every Metro cop's come across him because he lives in Vegas. He's basically homeless now, but people still, they'll see him walking around. They'll run up to him and get pictures with him. And he's still famous. He just doesn't have the famous money. He's nuts. Yeah. That guy's everywhere, man.
I assume that guy has some intellectual disabilities type deal.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he does. So, but he's always happy. He's a happy dude.
Even though he's homeless.
Yeah, I mean, they can be happy too, right?
You know what? Fuck you. You're right. Yeah, I guess they can't be yeah. happy.
I don't know how it works in Iowa, but they're happy here.
I don't know. I mean, most of the homeless folks I come across, well, they don't, not where I live in Iowa, they don't really exist, but in Denver, they're not really a happy people.
Yeah, I can see that.
Again, a lot of, I'm sure you understand a lot of the questions are strip related, but do you have any, somebody wants to know if the casinos are cop friendly?
Yeah, they are. From what I hear and understand, like they have all these casinos have what we call employee dining rooms, where they're exactly what they say. It's a dining room for employees that work there. And Metro cops, you know, if they're working the strip, they can go and just go in there. They don't charge you anything. You just go and eat there. And, but for the most part, no, from what I understand, it's probably going to be a strip cop that's going to correct me, but the majority of the casinos have their own security anyway. And they're, ever since October 1, there's a really high speed security guards at a lot of these casinos. I'm talking, they are, yeah, tac vests, rifles, just the Gucciest pants and guns. And they just walk around. They're basically security guards. They're emergency, like a response team. So obviously they can't take people to jail and stuff like that, but from what I understand, they work pretty well with our strip cops.
Okay. You know, I guess it's worthy of asking, but I don't really know the gun laws in Nevada or in Vegas. Is that a place where, you know, you can carry concealed or anything like that?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to conceal carry permit. You can open carry. You can ride around in your car with a rifle in your passenger seat. As long as it's, you don't have a round in the chamber, you're good to go. You can put your handgun like in your backpack in your passenger seat while you're driving, and that's not considered concealing a concealed weapon until like you stop and then you put the backpack on. That's pretty relaxed for the most part. And most people have guns here.
Okay, so like potentially you could go to Vegas and you can open carry on the strip if you so choose.
On the strip. I think that's like the only place you can't. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure on the strip you can't open carry.
Okay.
But everywhere else you can.
Well, and I know even for cops, like there is LEOSA and stuff like that, but I feel like, you know, I've heard stories of like in Illinois, like they fucking give cops a hard time traveling down the highway through the state for having guns, like other cops giving other cops problems. But, and like I've heard the same thing in like New York City because of they have crazy gun laws and because a lot of the federal buildings you can't carry anyway. I didn't know if it was one of those things if, and I'm not asking you to give the official advice of the Las Vegas Police Department, but if you're a cop, and you want to bring a gun, you're probably okay as long as you're following the law and, you know, you want to keep one in your hotel room or whatever.
Yeah, just don't be that cop that gets like shit-faced drunk or even drunk even a little bit and you're carrying you're concealing your gun on the strip and in bar. You can't carry a gun in a bar, even if it's concealed and you're a cop or you have a permit or whatever. So don't be doing that.
Yeah.
Other than that, if you want to bring it, you can. So.
Yeah, let's stop being stupid, by the way. If you're going to go out and get drunk, stop. Don't bring your gun. I don't think there's any states where I don't want to speak any states, but for every state, but I'm pretty sure most states you cannot be intoxicated with a firearm. So,
yeah,
let's not do that game. Make another cop's life hard. By the way, if you're a cop and you go out to a bar and cause problems, that is a big time Blue Falcon move, is it not?
No,
holy
I agree.
Fuck. I
mean, you should know better, man. Like, come on.
Go out, have a good time. Don't be a douche. Like, it's better just to walk away and not cause a call for service and cause paperwork for some other poor cop, you dumb motherfuckers.
Yeah, because I love it when, like, I meet other cops from, like, out of state and stuff, and, you know, we can shoot the shit. So, you know, it's really cool meeting them. And then, you know, I've heard stories of cops from out of state or other jurisdictions that come and kind of just do stupid shit. So don't do that.
Yeah, don't be a Blue Falcon. The last Instagram question, are you guys allowed to wear short sleeve shirts? And when I come to think about Vegas cops, you guys have that tan uniform. It always seems like it is long sleeve.
Yeah, we can. So in the academy, they say you're issued initially like 4 shirts. They say, do you want them all long sleeve? Do you want them all short sleeve? Or do you want half and half? So yeah, we can do short sleeves if you want. I don't. I think it looks goofy as hell, but hey, if you want.
Wait, hold on a second. You work in the desert, the fucking desert, and you are anti-short sleeve.
Only at work, for two reasons.
Okay.
No, so for two reasons. First of all, it just looks dumb. You look like a nerd. You look like a bus driver. And second,
what?
Yeah, like that's kind of a joke. Like you kind of almost looks like, you know, like a bus driver outfit. It just looks dumb. But not that bus drivers are dumb. Their outfits, sorry. But
you've just offended every bus driver that listens to this podcast.
No, fuck, dude. And second, man, I don't want to get people's nasty germs in my arms, you know. And there's homeless people like MRSA and shit like that, and I'm not trying to get any of that on me.
You're insane. You're insane.
Hey man, I'm not the only one. If you wear short sleeves, you are the minority by far.
Really? So you have a problem with minorities now?
The short sleeve minorities, yeah. I'm very anti.
Yeah, I know in Colorado, and it's the Rockies, it's cold there, right? I would want to wear short sleeves year round, like even in December. I fucking hate long sleeves. It drives me fucking nuts. I feel like I just feel uncomfortable in them. I've never thought looking at a cop with short sleeves that the shirt was unprofessional. I'm going to have to think on this, but I think you're crazy.
The only dudes I really know that have short sleeves are just jacked out. Like they are just stacked. You know, they got muscles on muscles and crap. Like I'm sure they're, you know, roiding, but that's
not it's Vegas. It's allowed. But everything's allowed in Vegas, right?
But man, they can fill in those short sleeves. I'm like, good for you. I mean, everybody else kind of looks dumb, but that's just me.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one because, I think you were fucking insane for that. That really surprised me to hear that. I would be curious what other people think about that.
It just gets
I didn't know that would be so controversial.
Like, yeah, it gets to the point where hot is hot. You're so hot, like no matter what you do, you're going to be hot. You throw on a short sleeve, it's still 115 degrees and you're hot. So it doesn't matter at some point. It gets to a point where like no matter what you do, you're just hot.
All right, how long did you spend in Missouri? Was it like a couple months, a week, or?
It was a month.
Okay. Yeah. Were you there in the summer?
Yeah, it was humid as balls. I've never felt humidity like that before. That was crazy.
So I don't mind. I know a lot of people hate the humidity. I've never lived in the South, so it may be a whole different level in the South. But in Midwest humidity, I don't really mind it a whole lot. But one thing I will say about Vegas – and even Colorado to an extent is the heat is dry. It's a dry heat.
Oh yeah. Very. Yeah. Very.
And I think it's probably better than, you know, the warm sticky. Cause like 100 where it's dry, I think is a whole lot better than 100 where it's wet. that's just my humble opinion, though.
No, you're right. And I, you know, basically everybody could agree with that, because I've been to Missouri and then Florida, and it was like 90 degrees with just a shit ton of humidity. I'm like, man, I can't do this. This is horrible. But then come back to Vegas and it's 110 and it's just dry. Way better.
Are you ready for my dumb questions?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What is the dumbest thing you did as a rookie?
Dumbest thing I did as a rookie, man. I'm trying to really think here now.
Get all long sleeves.
Yeah. Oh, wearing short sleeves one time? No. I remember field training. I don't remember how we found it. We found a stolen vehicle and this guy was sleeping in it in a back alley behind some apartments. And then we obviously game planned it with my training officer. You know, he's like, this is what we're going to do. Make sure, you know, just to make sure I don't do anything stupid. I was like, got it. So the first thing I do is something stupid. And so the guy was like backed up into a wall and he was sleeping in the driver's seat. So the first thing I do is we kind of sneak up. He goes around to the back and is trying to wake the guy up. And then I immediately just jump in front of the car, point my gun and start yelling at him in front of the car while he's trying to turn it on. And then luckily he didn't turn it on. My training officer, you know, being the good training officer he is, was able to open the door and just rip the guy out of there before he ran over and killed me. And after that, he had a stern talking with me afterwards about why not to do that.
I had a similar moment like that as a young officer. I get it. A new question on the podcast and one of my favorites. What is your favorite dead guy call?
My favorite dead guy call. My favorite one is the first one I've ever went on. Just looking back, it's so funny. Like, we get there. I remember who called it in, but it turns out he's a loner. He only goes to work and then he stays home. And nobody's heard from him. He's got all kinds of health issues. So we go in and then we find him laying in bed, big guy. And then he had no shirt on. And then he had his shorts pulled down to his knees. He had an iPad in his left hand and some lubrication in his right hand. And I was like, holy shit. This guy went out like that. Damn. I was like, I was looking at the iPad. I'm like, is it still on? Like, what did he go out with? But it was dead. And like, fuck, man, it's happening. Yeah, man.
I salute you, jerking off dead guy.
Dude, like, and then we were looking around his place and he's got heart medicine all over the place. I'm like, dude, you can't be doing that. Like, you know better.
No, he doesn't. Dude, let him go out in style. That is that's American way to go. God bless his you, heart, sir.
His heart just couldn't handle that shit. Must have been good.
All right. So the next question, I'm going to let people kind of feel free to use their own interpretation on how they want to handle this. But I would say, what is something you wish you knew as a new cop that you know now? Or what is something you wish you knew as a young man that you know now that applies to life?
Damn. I guess the only thing that really comes to mind is probably a common stereotypical one, but you know, being a cop is really not like what you see on TV. And I thought it was going to be a lot more, you know, fighting, running and gunning, and it's not. Another thing is I've come to realize real quick, and I've accepted that I am not going to change the world. No matter what I do, Vegas will always have crime until this world is dead and gone. But, you know, you can do your best to change individual lives. And the more I've focused on that recently, the more satisfied I felt.
How'd you do? Yeah. I don't know what the hell just happened. See, my cat went on the fucking faithful hand. Oh, it's Rocky Horror. My cat just went on the keyboard and we got Rocky Horror Picture Show. That is poorly made. Continue on.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. And the more
I realize, was going to take that out, but it's got to stay. It's got to stay. Yeah.
when you focus on just trying to help individual people that you come across, the more happy I am with my job, the more fulfilled I feel. Because, yeah, man, you're not going to change that community you work in. Like, especially the part of town I work on. Like, we had a deputy chief say one time, man, the East Side will always be the East Side. And they're not wrong. So, but you can change people's lives. And I wish I would have just gone in with that mindset instead of having to figure it out later. I mean, it's not a huge deal, but you know, I'm still pretty rookie, I guess. So I have plenty of time to fix all that.
I like that. I mean, I think that is something, you know, we think we can save the world, and not to sound like my cat is stressing me out right now. He normally never jumps on here when we're doing this. We don't need any more Rocky Horror Picture Show. Fucking stop fucking right now, cat. Fucking cat. But asshole cat made me lose my whole train of thought. But, you know, we want to save the world. We want to do the right thing. We want to be a good human being. But you can only control the small influence you have. You're not going to fix the world.
Exactly.
What is the proudest moment of your career?
I guess without sounding vain about it, and I'll explain why, I guess, why it's a happy, proud moment is I ended up getting a life-saving award for something I did. I won't go into detail about it because everybody know who I'm at, who I am. But the reason, you know, I just felt proud because it was nice. I guess it's always nice to be recognized and other people are paying attention, but it really kind of showed me kind of the leadership we have where I work, that they're really paying attention and they're going to go above and beyond to help you out. Because to get the award like that takes a long time. You gotta, as a sergeant, you gotta be the one for your officers to put in for that. You gotta type this big old long thing. You gotta submit it. Then it goes to review and they look at body camera and then they, you know, they investigate all of it, do follow-ups, all kinds of stuff. And then you can get, you know, you get awarded it. And it just kind of showed the type of leadership that I work for. And after that made me feel like, man, this is where I need to stay. I love these guys. They're really looking out for us. So, and we don't do it for the war. You don't need it, but you know, every once in a while, it does feel good. Like, I don't care who you are and how tough you think you are. It does feel good. I don't need it. I really don't, but it just showed me who our leadership was mostly. That's why I liked it.
That's fucking cool, man. That's really fucking cool. Because, you know, I mean, that's part of the reason I do the officer of the podcast is, you know, how often do we hear about guys that do fucking awesome shit? They put their whole entire life into this job and they put in the extra effort to help coworkers, to help the citizens, and the brass just sees them as a number, you know, and doesn't actually recognize what they're doing. And it's nice to see that there's still some administrations that will do the right thing and take care of their guys and recognize the hard work that's being done.
Yeah, I feel the same way. They really need to just be paying attention to their officers and stop focusing. Oh, make, you know, they're you get too many sergeants and supervisors that are just so focused on, oh, did he screw up? Oh, make sure he doesn't screw up. Oh, make sure you do this. But kind of switch that a little bit, or just give the other side just as much attention. Like, look at all the great things that officer did. Like, that guy deserves to be recognized for it. So there's that.
Would you want your kid to be a cop?
As of right now, like today, no. Who knows? He's my oldest is six. Who knows? Like, you just never know where law enforcement's gonna be in 20 years. Is it gonna be way worse, or is it gonna finally swing back? As of right now, no, I wouldn't.
The next section of the podcast, which you work in the desert, so I don't want you to disappoint me because weird shit happens in the desert.
Yeah, but
it's okay if you disappoint me. Do you have any alien or paranormal experiences that you'd like to share on the podcast?
Oh, man, do I? That's a whole other podcast, man. Dude, well,
can you give the Reader's Digest? And then maybe you can come back again if we do the alien podcast again.
No, I'm just going to. I just think of this one. My brother and I were big into off-roading and stuff and hunting. So we're always going out. And then at night we were driving and we're going this windy dirt road just up in the mountains, and we saw these lights coming towards us. We're like, oh, is this a motorcycle, another vehicle? What's coming at us right now? And then we were going around a bend, so we pulled over because we knew they're going to come back around that bend. And we stopped and we waited and we waited, and it was like 30 seconds went by. I'm like, where the fuck is this guy? So I guess maybe he stopped. So we went around, gone. There was no, this is the only road on the side of a mountain, so he couldn't have gone left or right or backed up, because, but there were lights coming at us, and I still see them today in my mind. Like, what the hell was that, man? So I don't know. There's that.
Yeah, I don't know why the desert just has that perception of aliens and all kinds of weird shit.
Yeah, that's probably the Area 51 thing.
Oh, fuck you, eBay. I'm trying to order a Crown Vic.
A Las Crown
Vegas,
Vic?
A Crown Vic Las Vegas car, because you've inspired me. So I'm ordering a geeky card, and they're making me verify my account, you motherfuckers.
Oh, nice.
So I guess I'll have to do that later. Now, we've already covered the best car of all time. Here's what we need to cover now. No one cares about the strip. No one cares about your experience. No one cares about anything. What everybody wants to know right now, good sir, is have you ever shit your pants?
Yeah, a couple times, actually.
Do you have a good story you would like to share with the millions?
Yeah, I'll tell you the most recent one I had as of last November. And I remember when it happened, the first person I thought about was you.
By the way, I don't want to like stomp on your story, but if you shit your pants, you do not need to send me a picture of your shitty pants. You do not, no, I man. Repeat, need to do that. Please don't do that.
I just remember thinking of poorly made. I'm like, oh man, here's a story. But it was early morning. I was on my way to a training class. It was like a 4-day training. It was the first day. I got there early. I just had a shit ton of caffeine and some food, and like, oh man, I gotta go. So I parked in the parking garage, start making my way, and it's just getting worse and worse as you walk, you know, you just feel it. And man, I couldn't make it. So I felt something come out. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, man, this hasn't happened since I was in like high school. And then, you know, finally make it to the bathroom and just finish. But I'm looking down and there's shit on my underwear, man. That's exactly what it sounded like too. And I was like, fuck, I got to go through this 10-hour class. Like, what am I going to do? I'm just like, I don't have a whole lot of embarrassment left in me as I get older. So I'm just like, I just take my underwear off. Like, what do I do here? But I always carry a pocket knife. So what I did was just, I cut out that section of my underwear and I flushed it with everything. Clean myself up. I cleaned myself up.
Why didn't you just throw away the underwear?
Well, there was like there was other people in the bathroom, and I'm just sitting there. There's no trash can in the stall, and I'm just like, I don't want to walk out with this shitty underwear in my hand. Be like, hey, I gotta throw this away, guys. Watch out. So it went down, and I went on through like my day as normal. So there was that.
Holy fuck. That is amazing. Bear Grylls would be proud of you for surviving that incident. Well, wow. We've come to the stunning conclusion of this podcast. Do you have any words of wisdom for all the millions of listeners out there?
Words of wisdom. Yeah, we ain't here for a long time. We're here for a good time, so enjoy it.
Hold on a second. Did you just quote the one, the only George Strait?
Dude, isn't that a great quote, though? If you think about it.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys know what to do. Support the fine sponsors of this podcast that allow me to purchase ramen noodles and toy police cars like I literally just did as we were recording this podcast. And then Make sure you guys are checking out merch. It feels like me and Ghost Patch have about 180 things right now. So check all of those out. Coins, patches, all kinds of good stuff. And then obviously check out the Spring store that has mugs and t-shirts and all that good stuff. I've said all that good stuff several times. I apologize. I should be better at this, but I'm not. And then, of course, there is the link at the end of every single podcast, and you can become a monthly donor. With that said, remember,
I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. So bring on the sunshine.
And I love most of you. Bye-bye.